CRJ230, this is your guide for week number 10. As we move to looking at the exclusionary rules, the exclusionary rule. The exclusionary rule is something we've actually been looking at all semester long. And I left a document on Blackboard for you to read and keep. It's one PDF file that contains the Mapp versus Ohio case. We referred to Mapp a few times, but I want you to go back and read Mapp versus Ohio. It's important for you to read Mapp versus Ohio. After you do that, listen to this guide. So if you haven't done that, go and open that file, read that file, including Mapp versus Ohio, and then come back to this. Because your assignment for this week is going to be to find an Illinois criminal case that discusses the exclusionary rule as it's related to search and seizure. And you have to discuss the exclusionary rule as applied to an issue related to an alleged or determined illegal search or seizure, providing the facts of that circumstance. Now, the exclusionary rule, which you've heard about and read about several times now, is intended to prevent the government from using evidence gathered in violation of the United States Constitution. It applies to evidence gained from an unreasonable search and seizure in violation of the Fourth Amendment. You may remember Mapp as being that case that brought us that clarification. It's also intended to protect against improperly elicited self-incriminatory statements gathered in violation of the Fifth Amendment per Miranda v. Arizona, which you've also heard about many times, as well as preventing collection of evidence gained in situation where the government violated the defendant's Sixth Amendment right to counsel, also via Miranda. Now, this rule does not apply to civil cases. So for you paralegal students who end up working in litigation that's civil in nature, which would be anything that's not criminal, right? This rule does not apply. It applies to criminal cases where somebody's life and liberty is at stake. If evidence that falls within the scope of the exclusionary rule led law enforcement to other evidence, which they would not have otherwise located or found but for the excluded evidence, then the exclusionary rule applies to the related evidence, the subsequently found evidence, and it is excluded as well. This evidence has taken on the name of fruit of the poisonous tree, and you will see that term and probably have seen that term many times now this semester. Now, keep in mind, we've discussed the federal and Illinois rules of evidence. These are rules, actual rules. These are rules adopted by the court and provided to litigants and expected to be followed as rules that govern how evidence is presented or to be viewed, utilized, and weighed in court. The exclusionary rule is a court-created remedy, and it's a deterrent. It's not an independent constitutional right. The courts will not apply this rule to exclude illegally gathered evidence where the cost of exclusion outweigh its deterrent or its remedial benefits. Finally, just like with anything else we've discussed in the past 10 weeks, for every rule, there are exceptions. And as you'll see in the reading, and as you've already seen, the three exceptions you'll be concerned with here are good faith. So an argument that evidence was obtained in good faith, it wasn't obtained in violation. It was obtained by an independent source. So if you're thinking in terms of fruit of the poisonous tree, whatever the issue was that would have invoked or caused this exclusionary rule to be attempted to be invoked, the subsequent evidence was shown to be found by an independent source, not by that trail or that poisonous tree. And then the third and last one that we will explore, and you will see come up in the cases from this week, inevitable discovery. In other words, it was inevitable that whatever the evidence that's now at issue is, it was inevitable that it would have been discovered. It was going to be discovered, exclusive of whatever the circumstance was that caused the exclusionary rule to be raised. Now we continue with the exclusionary rule, and in week 11, as it relates to identification procedures used by the police. So some of this will carry over to that week. But for this week, please read, please take a hard look at Map v. Ohio. And then think about how Map and the Miranda case, how that plays into the exclusionary rule, and how the exclusionary rule leads us to the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine. But then how these things also, like anything else we have dealt with thus far in the semester, may be subject to exceptions. This is a week 10 guide for CRJ 230. Week 10. That means we have six more to go, people. It's staying light longer, staying warmer. Don't lose your focus. Don't get spring fever on me, because it's now spring. So keep up your energy. Six more weeks, and you've completed this course and prepared yourself for your career. Stay well.